Sports Media. We are here for Hoop Hangout, the Roundabout, Round Ball, Roundup Rock at the Round Table. I got a ton of folks with me tonight. We got Taste Takes LLC, the X-Men, Jeff Axel. We got True Riding, of course, and Sean D tapping in tonight. NBA topics on deck for the Hoop Hangout, the Round Table, Round Ball Rock. Let's go. We guys wanted to start off with a little bit of LeBron and Lakers talk since some history was made the other day.
So basically, the way I feel about it, that 40K isn't being touched again ever. You know, you have to have somebody that plays consistently well for 22-plus seasons. He's the only one that's been able to do that. 25 points per game since his sophomore year. You know, even with the slowdown he had the last couple of years, he was still able to perform. I think the only person, maybe, and this is a big if, two people, would maybe be Luka. And if Wemby is continues to adapt the way he's been adapting in the league, he might be able to touch it. But other than that, I don't really see nobody coming in and getting 40K. And he might make it to 41,000, depending on what he does next year.
He's making it to 41. Probably 42 if he don't leave. And I feel like for him, nobody's ever played this long and at this level. So I think, yeah, that's an unbreakable record. Like 40K, like that's like one of the craziest feats that you could ever pull off. I mean, you could argue that, you know, people in the past could have probably, you know, if they stayed healthy, but it's hard to stay healthy 22 seasons, man. Adding on to the amount of playoff run that he's had too, like, cause he's been in the playoffs majority of his career. So that's like 23, 24 seasons worth of wear and tear. So to be able to go out there and do that, and he hasn't been injured this season. I was concerned about him having an injury. I know he got a lingering ankle injury. But, you know, like I said, he's obviously taking like a step back from where he was. Obviously, he's not going to be in his prime like at 40. But to still go out there and do what he's doing, I think that's an amazing feat. But it's like I don't even think this era of players would want to play that long to break that record. Even if you could, I don't think they would want to. Like, who's invested it to go 22 seasons? These niggas is cashing out $50 million a year, got generational wealth by year 10. I would get the fuck out by year 15 at best. Like, nah. He nah. So it's definitely not being touched in this lifetime. I don't think we thought anybody could touch Kareem shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think Mike was the closest one.
And look what it took somebody coming into the league at 18, straight out of high school. Who was, yeah. LeBron was scoring 20 a game as an 18-year-old, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's, I mean, he might have been a Dominican 18, but he was I mean that, okay. Let me clarify before anybody gets mad about that. It's a thing.
I know what you mean. Yes.
In the World Series of baseball, and sometimes when you look at third world basketball prospects, they'll say that they're, you know, 12 or 13 and the age will be fudged to help these guys out. That's all that means.
I knew what you meant. I think people who listen, they should be able to tell what you mean. Nothing malicious behind that. But like I said, you know, Bron came in and lived up to the hype in terms of what, you know, he was able to do and exceeded the hype. And I think that's what makes him one of the greatest players to ever do it. It's just like there's a short list of players who have done some of these amazing feats. That's why they got your top fives, your top threes, your top tens. They're head and shoulders above everybody else. And you got your, you know, guys like Bron and you know, like Jordan and Kobe. And I mean, even now with like, a, you know, I guess you want to say KD, Steph, guys like that. They're still doing stuff that we've never seen really done before. And it's in this era. It's not a lot of guys doing stuff we haven't seen before, but it's just that's why he's one of the greatest. I mean, you can't take that away from him. 40,000 is crazy. Like, it's crazy. I still it's still baffling because I don't think we thought we were going to see that in our lifetime, but we have. So, you know, kudos to him. The Lakers themselves, it's like every time he break a record, they lose. I do find that funny. But yeah, that's a whole different, that's a whole different conversation.
Well, LeBron getting 40,000 is just amazing. Just the consistency, averaging 27-7-7 for 21 years. That's amazing. People get so wrapped up in the Jordan and Kobe comparisons that they don't really appreciate what he's doing. People try to say he didn't have an iconic shot on Twitter over this weekend, like he doesn't have multiple game winners in the playoffs, the most playoff points in NBA history. Like he has 40,000 points, over 10,000 assists, and 10,000 rebounds. Only person to do that in NBA history. It's just like people really go over the top with the slander with LeBron, and it's just unfortunate because we're never going to see nobody like him again. He only has about 3-4 years of this level left, most likely. But at this point, you never know.
Hmm? I don't even think he's playing that long. I really don't think he's playing that long. I literally think he's just playing one season with his son, and that's it. Whenever his son go there, after that, he's done. Like, I think so. I do want to rebuttal you real quick because we went back and forth with each other on Twitter about this, and I just feel like it's and I do it with Sean too. It's like I think people, we get so caught up in the negativity that's like, if I watch ESPN, if I watch most media outlets, Bron gets a whole bunch of credit, like a ton of credit. And so it's weird because I hear people say like, oh, people overly criticize him. He's the most criticized athlete. I'm like, man, they criticize all the greats. They criticize Ali. They criticize Jordan before he started winning everything. They criticize Tiger Woods. They criticize everybody. Like, I think that's just the role you take when you are at the top. You're upper echelon. You take it. Now, the one thing you said about the iconic shot, I'll argue, I was going to say this. I never say this on Twitter. I think Bron has more iconic shots in the playoffs than Kobe. Personally, it's just the reason why I say that is because how many game winners in the playoffs did you see Kobe actually hit?
The one against Bron. Phoenix.
Phoenix is the one. That's iconic. You know, him ripping the jersey. But Bron switched a three in the Pacers' face. He did the game winner against Orlando in the conference finals. I'm probably missing like a couple other ones in the playoffs, of course. Like I said, Kobe in turn regular season.
Chicago against Toronto. Yeah.
All right, we ain't gonna talk about the one in Chicago. Cause they shouldn't have had the ball on that anyway. We ain't gonna talk about that. But it's like he has like so many of them. Like I don't think he's ever been like the greatest shooter scorer, like in terms of like I know what his numbers are, but like I think that's what people look at. It's like some skill level. Like he doesn't have the greatest footwork, or he's not the best 3-point shooter, he's not the best mid-range guy, so people automatically go, oh, he ain't got no, like, you know, great shots. Like the greats get it done. You ain't got to be the greatest. Like Kareem was hook shot dunks, you know what I'm saying? Like Kobe takes horrible shots, and that's my guy. That's one of my favorite players of all time. But Kobe took horrible shots. I think Bron takes smarter shots, and that's why I say I think he has more iconic shots in the playoffs than Kobe. And like I said, if somebody can prove me wrong and point out like a whole bunch of great iconic shots that Kobe took, it's just Kobe was just sound with what he did. Like 09, when he that 09 run and playoff run, he was just cooking everything. Like he was just cooking everything.
My rebuttal to you is even after Jordan won, like he wasn't getting slandered in his Wizard years, he was getting like praised. But LeBron, it's like he got the expectations of a 25-year-old.
That's because he builds his teams for that. The Wizards had no championship aspiration. This means like that's the one thing I don't think people was like, there was nothing on that team that would make you think, oh yeah, they're gonna win championship. LeBron went and got Anthony Davis. You know, they try to get Russell Westbrook, D'Angelo Russell, they got Austin Reeves, they try to get Rui Hachimura. I think the reason why is because the media wants to prop up the Lakers as like this all-world contender. I don't know if they're all-world contender. They're like 9th or 10th in the West. So that's the issue, is that people prop them up a certain way. And it's like, at the end of the day for LeBron, like LeBron ain't got another win again, and he's right there at the top, you know, Mount Rushmore. So I think we get so caught up in like, oh man, somebody said LeBron ain't clutch, where there's obvious evidence to contrary that he's clutch. He's one of the most clutch players. You know, like I think people are like, oh, he's not clutch like Jordan, he's not clutch like Kobe, or stuff like that. The problem with that conversation is, the reason why people say this, and I'm glad we have this platform so I can say this and not do it on Twitter, is because LeBron wouldn't shut the fuck up for years after I'm chasing that ghost to Chicago. You're like, he said it. He said after he won in 2016, I'm chasing that ghost to Chicago. Like, stop saying that, because that's what people are going to hold you to that. Like, if you're chasing that ghost and you're saying you're still chasing it, you're going to be held to that standard. Jordan had nothing to prove, and LeBron has nothing to prove. If LeBron said, I'm just playing because I love the game, you know, obviously we want to win, blah, 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 but da-da-da, I don't even think people would care. I don't think people would be mad. I think it's because of, like, the passive aggressiveness when the team ain't doing good, and then, you know, like, he tweeting out the hourglass, talking about, like, oh, you know, what was that about? Oh, you know, I was just, you know, like, he lies. Dude, the nigga lied. Like, he lied too much. That's another thing. And we know this. He lied all the time. He just lied. He just lied like the other day about something. Like, he just lied too much. I think LeBron brings some of it on himself. But like, if somebody say like, oh, he ain't clutch or he don't do this, like, man, that nigga's stupid. Like, I think Twitter sometimes just it's just people yelling to the void, and they don't have good opinions. And it's the same thing with wrestling too. The same thing with wrestling. And me and Eric, we know that. For sure. People who have no common sense, no knowledge of the game, people just saying stuff like LeBron is one of the greatest to ever do it. You can argue he's the greatest, top two, top three, whatever you want to say. It's just like, it's dumb. If you saying like, I mean, there's knocks against his resume in terms of certain things, but like everybody got knocks on their resume. So I just feel like sometimes like we all tend to harbor on the worst part. Like, and y'all know I'm not a big LeBron fan anyway. Definitely not, you know, not a LeBron fan like that anyway. I've never been a big fan of his games since his high school stuff. I thought he was cool. I never thought, I didn't understand the hype at that time. So I was like, I give him his props, but he going to have haters. Everybody has haters. Y'all know my favorite player. Me and Sean got the same favorite player right now, Steph. And I heard Steph was not clutch. In X, you was trashing him years ago. You said this nigga would never score 50. He never scored 60.
I said 60.
You said 60. He got two since you said that. and a score title since you said that. You was wrong. It just be like that sometimes. Like, and like when y'all went against him in the finals, you was like, oh no, we going. You know, it's like everybody gets hate. LeBron is no different. It's just that he's on around Mount Rushmore. So people think you're Mount Rushmore, you're not supposed to get. Oh shit, y'all losing. I just noticed. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Dean Wade wants to hit. That's why you see me throwing my hands up. Dean Wade has like 18 points in the fourth quarter. It's crazy.
I'm sorry. That's a great thing to talk about a lot.
Bad game in a month. I mean, oh well.
I mean, y'all just slaughtered. Y'all just had the most ridiculous. I don't even want to talk about that game. Y'all had the most ridiculous slaughtering of a team I ever witnessed. In real time, to the point I cut that shit off at 2 minutes into the second quarter. I was like, I'm not watching this shit. Like, I'm not watching this. I mean, y'all on the road too. Y'all have y'all struggles on the road.
It's just an off game, bro. Like, let go of the rope. Dean Wade started hitting a bunch of threes. Like, you got 18 fourth quarter points. Like, I'm not tripping off of this game.
Anomaly.
First loss since February 4th. Like, we'll be all right.
Yeah, anomaly, man. It's an anomaly. Y'all look great. I'm hoping somebody beat y'all in the playoffs, but you know, y'all look great. I can't say too much about that.
Okay, LeBron thoughts.
Yeah, it's definitely impressive that LeBron is still playing at a high level, and he pushed the scoring title. I mean, all time points leader. He pushed the number out way too high. For really anyone to get, I think the only active players right now that can get it, I would say Tatum or Luka. But then that comes with great health. That comes with 20 years 18 to 20 years of great health and great play. Like, it's gonna be very hard to catch up to that. You know, it's just special. He's breaking the record every night. He's just pushing it further and further. Yeah, and it could get to 41. It could get to 42. Yeah. It's just been greatness for 20 years. It'll be tough for even someone to be on his level. Just anyone in the league now, it'll be tough for anyone to replicate or outdo LeBron. Because that's gonna be what the players now. That's gonna be the guy they're trying to be better than. It's gonna be LeBron. They're gonna try to be better than him. That's gonna be the guy, because you know it kind of played with him, you know. So yeah, it's very impressive. It's honestly very impressive, and it's gonna it'll be broken, but not in my lifetime. Like, I'll be old.
So you mean 27?
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of pushing out that longevity. And this Wemby conversation that came up today, pondering something last night. Oh, and I saved it. I didn't tell the guys pre because I wanted to get the live reactions. So
I'm going on mute.
So, you know, there's discussion of what LeBron's going to do next. And the conversation came up today about you know, Wemby, how long is he going to wait for them to give him, you know, some help, or for them to not be a bad team. And I was thinking about it last night because I had listened to a podcast where they were discussing Bronny James and what kind of a prospect he is and what might happen with that. So in my mind, it seems as if LeBron is going to basically hit free agency whenever this year is going to come. Or force a trade, whichever. Whatever happens, he's going to the team that takes his son. So do you, as a team, but you wouldn't think that a team with a top 10 pick would mortgage it like that.
No.
But if you're one of these good teams, say, what team did I have on my mind? Maybe the Timberwolves. Maybe the T-Wolves can't quite get over the hump. They're good. They're maybe a conference finals or a competitive second round team. They need another piece. They're drafting, say, 26th, 27th. Do you take Bronny, even though that's an overdraft? Because if you draft Bronny, you're going to get LeBron. Because how good of a player most years is the 27th or 28th pick really going to be? Especially for a team
that's the first round.
Especially for a team that's that right. No, talent wise, I get you. You're right. But listen to what the scenario that I'm laying out, though. If you're one of these teams that are that close to getting over the hump, do you just sacrifice that value of the pick because you know LeBron comes with him? You're basically also drafting LeBron.
I still wouldn't do it first round.
Furthermore,
definitely not first round.
Say you're a team like San Antonio that's going to be picking in the top 10 in the second round. Do you add LeBron to help Wemby?
That'll make more sense. Bronny. Yeah. That'll make more sense. Okay, I use a second round pick.
I just don't see the difference in the caliber of pick 27 to pick 35. Like, I just don't know if the caliber of the player is going to be that much different.
I mean, typically in the NBA, it's not. But if you're drafting like 27, 28, you're kind of drafting a small, slight need. But if everybody's doing this like Jrue Holiday comparison, then yeah, picking him late in the first round, that would be great if he does turn out to be a Jrue Holiday.
It's not for Bronny. Fuck him. Who cares if he fucking... Who cares if he even plays 10 minutes? What I'm saying is you take him because you're also getting LeBron.
You have to be a solid team. I don't think you would be a young team just because Bron needs the ball.
Man,
he needs to be in control. Like, he needs to be in control. So it had to be like a slightly older, like you said, like a Minnesota where maybe Ant want to play off ball, I guess. Even then, that's a big if.
No.
But it's like,
no.
I wouldn't do that as a young team. I wouldn't do that to Wemby.
No. No.
You know, but.
No. No.
Maybe. I will say this. As crazy as it sounds, with all that stuff that happened like around All-Star Weekend with LeBron and Golden State, I would not be surprised
if Golden State did something like that. Right on.
He's going to Golden State.
Right on. Golden State's going to play. They'll pick, you know, they'll be at pick 25. They'll take fucking Bronny so they can get LeBron in there.
Done. Then they're already talking about getting rid of Clay, maybe. So, the money adds up.
Clay ain't leaving. Clay not leaving.
Or I wonder if a scenario would come up where they would have a pre-set up deal with a team using a high second pick, like the Spurs, and then you send them future picks and a player. So they take Bronny, they trade him, and then you get LeBron with Bronny to the team that got the trade. Does somebody do that?
I can only see Golden State doing that personally.
Yeah. I can see it happening.
Golden State. So here's the thing about this, right? Golden State would do this because they're dumb enough to do this. And because Draymond Green wants to play with his daddy, LeBron James. Draymond is the biggest LeBron fan.
Big brother. For real. So by the way, we need to have at some point, we should have a Steve Kerr, Bill Belichick conversation. Am I fucking wrong? Am I wrong here?
No. I'm not even.
This motherfucker played with a cheat code for all these years.
His entire life.
Cheat code is gone. A little bit of exposure going on. Some cheeks are out there. But
well, I mean, the issue.
Well, we can't say Belichick at least made the playoffs without Brady. Kerr cannot say that.
He without Steph and Clay, they was the worst team in the league. But also the team didn't do them any favors. In terms of, like, you had D'Angelo Russell at one point that season, who was solid. He was getting 40, you know, point games, 50 point games, but, you know, it's not, you know.
So going back real quick to scenario, we have a weekly segment where we shit on the Warriors. So the Warriors are pretty much the only team you can see doing this. True, this scenario I'm talking about.
Not the only one. Not the only
the other. Okay, but you do think that a team might do it. Either via trade or via pick.
Well, LeBron is a free agent this season, so his son hasn't decided yet. But his son is very good defensively. His offense will come to him. It is hard to do it, but I absolutely believe the most logical situation is Golden State, just because of the fact LeBron said himself, if he does this. He said he would take the veteran minimum just to play beside his son. Now, if you see, so if I'm Golden State and I'm like, yo, you know what? We could go get Bronny and get Bron, and he's willing to take less, which allows us to use our money for Clay. Clay's going to take a pay cut anyway. You keep Clay. You still got Kuminga, LeBron, but it wouldn't work because LeBron, if LeBron came there, what's the starting lineup for Golden State? Bronny is going to be the 15th, 14th guy on the roster, right? Because he's not starting over Moses Moody. He's not starting over Kuminga. Pods is not, you know, Trace Jackson Davis, they need him to. Obviously, Bron would take the Chris Paul role because Chris Paul is obviously gone unless he wants to come back on like a – but he's old. Like, if you're going to replace Chris Paul with another older guy – Bron is the absolute best choice that you could replace him with, but that would require LeBron to be saying, yo, look, we're still in California because we don't want to go too far. You know, I'm playing with, you know, the guy who I had battles with, people who I went, you know, Steph, I went against Steph. He's always wanted to play with Steph. He's made this known publicly several times. Steph has said it'd be cool. They're going to play together if they stay healthy for the offseason. They're going to play together in the Olympics. So, like, everything is building to a perfect storm of them eventually playing again. And if the Warriors, you know, decide to go and take Bronny and make that move, they don't actually the Warriors don't actually need to like have like a bang up draft this year because they just aced it. Honestly, the last two, like, not the last two, but they just aced it. You know, I think Lester Quinones is actually a solid addition. Moses Moody been showing out, and he needs more fucking playing time. If Andrew Wiggins gets traded this season, I can see LeBron fitting there, and you know, playing at the three for them, and Kuminga does the four like he's doing. And if you were to do a Steph, Clay or Moody, LeBron, Kuminga, Draymond, or Trace Jackson Davis, because they're going to get rid of Looney, too. Looney's going to be gone, too. I think his contract's up this offseason. He's done. So it's like there's pieces where it makes sense, and the Warriors make the most sense. I don't want to see that, personally. It's just be weird to me to see them together. Like, it's cool, but I don't know. I never like seeing rivals team up after – you know, it's like, it's just weird. Like, y'all battled each other for years. I don't like seeing that. But I think, what team is old? What other teams are old besides the Warriors right now? Tay, you might know.
Milwaukee. Probably, I mean, yeah, of course.
Milwaukee old as shit.
Yeah, the Bucks.
Milwaukee.
That might be interesting.
I can't see Giannis.
They would be in the spot.
I can't see Giannis, though. I can't see Giannis and Bron playing. That'd be weird, right?
Yeah, it'd be ugly space-wise. Well, LeBron can shoot for some odd reason now, so maybe it can work.
Some days it can't be. It can't. I just think Dame is going to be there unless Dame moves. Are they going to move, you know, is Dame?
Oh, damn, that's right. He do got that big-ass contract, don't he?
Yeah, but I'm like, once again, Giannis, LeBron, Dame. What's Middleton's situation? I gotta look at his contract. I haven't seen his contract in a while, so
he just got.
Hey, matter of fact, I got a question. How far is Bryce behind Bronny?
In terms of year?
Yeah.
Or talent? Because
years. He's like two years behind, right?
I think two. Yeah.
All right. So basically, for shits and giggles, say Bronny decide. All right, I'm gonna stay in college one more year. And then you know, all right. So now LeBron waits to play with Bronny. Then Bryce comes along. All right, I'm going to play one more year so I can play with my other son. Do you see that being a possibility?
No. I don't think so.
I mean, if Bronny decides to stay. In the immortal words of Kevin Garnett, anything is possible.
The only reason why I say no is because LeBron usually tells you what he wants to do, right? So like he'll give you hints. And he said he wants to play with Bronny. And I think he did that because I think in his mind he knew that
he ain't gonna make it. Yeah,
like he's just not gonna like, and he's being realistic. And it's like, also, man, like that brother been playing 22, 23 years. Like if his son decided that he never wanted to play basketball, I think LeBron would have retired already. I genuinely think he would have retired already. Like once he broke the record, Kareem's record.
Year. Yeah, once he broke the record. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'd retired. And he's basically saying in so many words that he's just doing stuff, which I think is cool as shit for him to do. He's just doing stuff he wants to do now. Like you won your championships, your MVPs. Like he can still go out there and shit on anybody on the court. Like, you know, like that's what you do this for. You get
and
to
I,
this
and
point.
I think this is the best way for it to end too, because it's like, the Lakers situation is like fucking cooked. They have no assets. They have no way to do anything for him at this point. Like they tried it, got a championship. Like in this, like it's over now.
There's an elephant in the room.
Lakers overachieved again this year, though.
So they're not. So he can go to free agency and some strong team, like I said, at the back end of the first, can take Bronny. He could jump in with them. That's like a good ending, you know.
Yeah, I think, but to your point about the Lakers, I think the reason why I think LeBron is out of there this offseason. Yes. And the reason why I think that in general was because the Lakers made no big trades. D'Angelo Russell just happened to just be playing better. But we know that don't last.
What do they got to make a big trade with?
People like Austin Reeves was like, Great
Austin
White
Reaves
hype.
And D-Lo is like their best
big trade. Big trade, yeah.
And so, you know, I think that was the problem to me, because they're like, we don't want to get rid of Austin Reed. Like, nigga, who is Austin Reed? Like, who's he supposed to be? You know, like
going with swiftness.
You know, and so they wanted DeJounte Murray, which once again, I don't know if DeJounte would have really, you know, that's a tough, it's kind of been tough, weird fit. I think D'Lo is more of a, he's more of a facilitator when he wants to be. DeJounte too, but it's like, we don't, you know, Bron has his moments off ball. Some, you know, I think Miami, he showed he could really be on and off ball, but it's like now at this stage, the amount of running around that Bron would have to do on a consistent basis to play with these young boys, like he can still get up. It's just not exactly the same. So I didn't see where the Lakers would have gotten much better with anybody, really, like anybody that they would have acquired. But you know, right now they have this is a full healthy season of Anthony Davis, and they're like 9th and 10th in the West. So I don't expect that to happen the very next season. And that's not me wishing anything on Anthony Davis, just that he has, like, he'll give you a healthy season, and then, like, the next season it's just up and down. And it hasn't hit yet. And I'd be concerned because, you know, like, I don't know if it's a diet thing or it's a workout thing, but it's just a hard thing for him to stay healthy consistently throughout the year. So I feel like with everything now, Bron probably looking at that. AD's getting older too. Like he 30, 31, you know, in Tay's world, that's like you 50.
Tay, let us know. What does that mean?
Yeah, he's like 50.
Right? Yeah, that's pretty much.
Yeah. So it's like, LeBron Tay, is, no.
What about the Knicks, man?
Okay. So.
Okay. Say they're picking 26th, 27th. Say they get to the ECFs. They're picking 28th, 29th. Are we?
That's where LeBron want to go. That's really where we want to go. He said it the whole season. He said all season.
So
he did the Knicks tell him.
Should they take Bronny so they could add LeBron?
If that's guaranteed, yes. Because I don't think anyone in this draft would help us. Like, if
not
you know
at the
what 28, I mean.
Not at the 28 slot. That's what I'm saying, right? It's an overdraft for somebody like Bronny, but at the 28, is somebody at the pick 28 going to help you as much as adding LeBron would help you?
Right.
No.
Yeah, like the Knicks have two firsts this year, and I don't think anyone's going to necessarily help out. Like, the Knicks pretty much have the roster. Like, it's just a matter of health at this point. So if you just waste one of the picks on Bronny, and that guarantees LeBron, you do it. I mean, we got two firsts, two really wasted. So we have Dallas's first, and we have our own. So, you know, they can range anywhere depending on how the playoffs go, like anywhere from 15 and back. But yeah, I say you do it. I mean, it's no reason not to. Like, there's a lot of teams, honestly. Like, while y'all were talking, I'm looking at the draft board, who has how many picks. There's a lot of teams that could do it. Like, if that honestly guarantees LeBron on your roster, there's a bunch of teams I can see doing that. Like the Thunder.
Yeah, maybe.
Why not? Like I think the Thunder pretty much have their team set.
I was thinking about, like, maybe Dallas.
They have so many picks. They're at the point to where they're just wasting picks. Like, they're just drafting people, putting them on the end of the bench. They're going to the G League, and that's it.
Dallas is an interesting one.
Why not? Just go ahead and waste it. Because it's not gonna. They're gonna draft at 9 or 15. Like, they have the Rockets pick. They have the Jazz pick. Like, it's. You don't know where, like, just waste it. I mean, it's because
Kyrie
is really helping your team. Like,
Kyrie in Dallas makes this interesting. Made me think about something. I wasn't even thinking about it. That's interesting. Kyrie wanted to play with him. It's interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say this, though. There's no way LeBron will go to New York with Tom Thibodeau as that coach.
Yeah,
he would run that man to the ground. He would run that man in the ground.
But that was one of the points too that made me think of Dallas. Is LeBron's one of the only as far as we know, there could be other things going on, but he's one of the only ones, like mega stars that we know of that's like down to play with Kyrie.
I think so, anybody should be willing to play with Kyrie. Just not the Celtics.
Hold on. I said should be. I said, I didn't say should be. I said are. That we know.
I think if any team traded for Kyrie, they would accept him. Like, I think he's just – Kyrie's got a bad rap just off of
– Yeah, but I say, I know Tatum love Kyrie. Tatum and Brown, they love him.
Yeah.
Axe, what about the Celtics?
Ugh.
Well, we took a bad loss. Our first loss since February 1st, so everybody's be twerking on the timeline.
I'm talking about this scenario. You guys are ECF or you're champions. You're picking 31st, 32nd, in the first.
Ron had never played
Ronnie, this. Why did you think that? If you
I just never see it happening. I just feel like certain teams – he just doesn't have on his wish list, and I think we're on that list. Bronny, as far as
you will be if your son's on his roster.
As far as Bronny is concerned, I definitely think it was smart to stay another year. He had the cardiac arrest, and even before that, I didn't really see him as a one and done type of guy. Like, he still got some work to do before he gets to this NBA level. But if it was a scenario to where he was on the Celtics and Bron would pull up, I mean, we already over the luxury tax, salary cap wise, but you would have to open that up. That's one of the all-time greats. Of course, you would want to see him on your team, but I don't know.
Do you think that's a smart move for a top eight team right now? Teams that say all four teams that go to the conference finals, competitive second round squads. Do you think it's a good move to use a pick? Anybody who has to pick 25 through 32, is it a good idea to use this strategy?
We're going to because you're even going to get somebody who's not really that good. It's probably going to be out the league in 3 to 4 years, or you're going to get a foreign player that you're going to stash. Especially if it's second round.
That's my point, man. Who is going to help you to get over that hump more? Whoever you're taking at pick 27 or 40-year-old LeBron and his son? I think in almost every scenario, it's 40-year-old LeBron and his son. That's right. Me. You guys want to talk some Phoenix Suns before we get up out of here tonight?
Ugh.
Just briefly, like, I'm very disappointed. Because, I mean, KD wants to be in certain conversations. He wants to be in GOAT talk and things like that. But post-Golden State, he hasn't really delivered individually. Like, the furthest he's been is the second round, one time in Brooklyn and one time in Phoenix. He's had a couple first-round exits. Phoenix hasn't really been healthy this year. You know, you got Booker and Beal in and out the lineup. I know he's 35 and you're 17. He's a little older, but he wants to be in GOAT talk. You got to get criticized certain ways. So I said before the season, I didn't really like their interior defense. I didn't like their lack of point guard play and playmaking. And I feel like we're seeing that right now. They're dangerously close to falling out of the play-in mix. And shout out to the New Orleans Pelicans for playing well recently. I wanted to mention them before we get off this pod too. Zion. Trey Murphy, Brandon Ingram all playing at a high level. So shout out to the Pelicans too.
Absolutely.
I just think with the KD situation in Phoenix, as I said before we started, KD since Golden State, he has the worst look when it comes to teammates and their injuries. And I think that's what caused him to miss a finals. I don't think he would have beat Denver last year with Chris Paul, so that doesn't really matter. But this year, I would like to say the point guard play comment you made, Booker has been pretty good running the point. He's been pretty decent. He's no Chris Paul, but he's been good enough. But, yeah, Phoenix, they're not going to do anything just because they have no defense. And then you expect to outscore people, but your big three only play like 15 games together.
Second round squad is what we said at the beginning of the season. Tay, Phoenix Suns thoughts.
I think we should hold off to the playoffs. Like, I don't think this team is like, oh, let's try to get the one seed. I don't think they're like, you know, trying to get the best seed possible. I think they're just, I would say they're coasting, you know, get your wins, make the playoffs. If they stay in the playoffs, but I don't think you should overreact in the regular season when it comes to this team, as they're not young, they don't have their picks. Like, they're literally playing for the playoffs only. And so it doesn't really matter where they land in the playoffs. But yeah, when it comes to KD, like Ax said, yeah, like KD hasn't really done much, you know, outside of the super team, the Warriors super team. That's just one of the super teams he was on. But the Warriors super team, he hasn't really done much, you know. No conference finals after the Warriors super team. Really know anything. And I don't think this season is going to be any different. I mean, they could easily lose in the first round. Like, if the playoffs start today, they see the Nuggets, they're gone again. Like, they're losing five, no problem. And it's unfortunate. You know, they tried to add Bradley Beal. I don't think anyone believed in that move. It was a big move, but when you look at it, like, that didn't make them any better. Like, they, you know, stuff like that. They don't have the perimeter defenders anymore. They don't have any pure point guards, because Devin Booker is good at it, yes, but you want Devin Booker to go score. Like, when you think of Devin Booker, you don't think of a guy that's creating for others. You think of Devin Booker, you pass him the ball, and he will get you some points. You know, they don't have a point guard. They don't have paint defense. Like, this team just has a lot of holes, and I don't think KD is at that point in his career to just mask everything and just overcome. It's the Suns are just not it.
True. Phoenix Suns thoughts.
Second round squad, of course, but also it's a mix of things, right? Everybody already said it, you know, no perimeter defense, no defense in the paint. You could argue KD's the best defender on the team, which he's about to be 36. It's not ideal for any team that's trying to contend, really, that your best defender, like your best player, could be 36, 37, something like that in terms of offense. But your best defender needs to be a little bit younger, a little bit more, you know, athletic and all that shit. So I just feel like when it comes to the Suns, Bradley Beal move, we said this months ago, not a needle mover. Shit really didn't make a difference. Don't really matter. I don't find, like, I'm like watching them now and I'm just like, they don't move me, you know. Devin Booker, you know, there's health with Devin Booker. He's missed a couple games recently. You know, KD, there's always that elephant, you know, kind of in the room, like, you know, will he be able to maintain throughout the playoffs? And he was complaining about double teams the other day, you know, getting double teamed. Like, that's just not the mark of what champions do, in my opinion. But, I mean, maybe he can make something happen, figure something out. Maybe they can put some wins together. They've been doing decent, but it's like, come playoff time, I don't trust Bradley Beal. I trust KD offensively. I trust Devin Booker mostly offensively, but I don't trust Bradley Beal, Nurkic, Royce O'Neal, Grayson Allen. Nah, I don't trust that. So, still second round squad. You know, I still like watching KD do his thing, but nothing. I don't see the Suns doing anything. Second round squad at best. If they somehow make it out of his, they're still in the play-in right now, right? They got still in the play-in. So
they'll be playing Denver right now, though. Nah, Sacramento got a 7th seed.
Oh, okay. So Sacramento is a 7th. Well, Suns was just in 7th like the other day. So it was just in 7th like the other day.
Ain't that far ahead of Sacramento. I'll tell you.
It's like a game and a half. Basically, from 10th. Yeah, from like 10th. So they'll be okay. They'll be back in 7th. Okay, thank you. They'll be back in 7th because they ain't winning them. But you know, like from 10, from like the 10th seed, I think we're pretty much know the 10 teams that are gonna be playoff / play in, right? So we kind of know it because like the Utah Jazz probably not gonna make a run to get the 10th spot from either the Warriors or the Lakers. The Warriors or Lakers could both go up a notch. You know, Sacramento Kings could fall again. The Suns could fall without, you know, Devin Booker. If something happens, they could fall too. So I think we kind of know, but the Suns, I don't know, man. I don't know.
They're in the danger zone, though. Like, as I think about them,
it's rough. You can't, you know.
They ain't like, got no draft picks either. So it's like they could flame out early. Booker going on out soon. That's what I think personally. Give it like a year.
I think he wanted out before. I think that's why they went to go get KD. Like he was probably leaning the sword towards like, hey, look, we need to make a move. We'll get Kevin Durant. We'll destroy our future to get him.
And then destroy it even more to get Bradley Beal.
If you're going to destroy your future, why get like an empty calorie score? You know what I'm saying? Like he'll get you 30, but if he gets you 30, your team's winning like 20 games. Is that what you really want?
Right. It doesn't make sense.
But I will say, before we get off, I want to say something quick about the MVP race. Top three should be, in any way, shape, or form, Jason Tatum, Giannis, and Jokic.
Disagree.
No SGA?
Yes. I will.
SGA the MVP. That's the MVP. Nah, man. That's the MVP.
Giannis?
No, wait. Dame,
what year are you in?
Wait, Giannis?
It's not 2020.
Dame just scored 41.
Man, listen. Giannis is averaging for the third straight year 30 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists.
What that got to do with anything?
And he's a great defensive player. No, I said it a couple weeks ago, Sean. You're not. You're not wrong.
Like, Milwaukee has had three coaches in the past year. They had two this season. And they're still second in the East.
They fired their coach this season. How the fuck does the MVP – they win MVP?
Listen. They haven't had any consistency coaching-wise. They are second in the East right now.
All right. I thought Cleveland took it back over.
No, Giannis got it. Milwaukee got it. Second in the East. Okay. So you mean to tell me a guy averaging 30, 11, 6, playing great defense, shooting 61% from the field. You mean tell me like he shouldn't have no case to be MVP? He should be leading the race.
Not over SGA. Absolutely
not. Not over SGA. Absolutely not. No.
And then Tatum, what he's doing, he has like a 6-game lead, best record in the league, give or take 6 games.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but Jaylen Brown just went off and you know, it's like it's a hard conversation because when you look at Giannis, you look at Dame. If Chris Middleton was healthy with Dame, that would be considered a super team if Middleton was what he was a while ago. I see Tay's face. Let's be clear.
No, I agree with you. No, they was telling me, oh, ain't no super teams. I agree with you. I'm just saying.
You said Boston was a super team. That's what you were saying.
They are. Boston is a super team.
In terms of, no.
Don't get me wrong. I don't like the niggas that play on Boston. I think Jaylen Brown has no left hand, which you know. Kristaps Porzingis is a rapist. I mean, I haven't heard.
I didn't know about that.
I mean, that is something. I've seen people talk Kobe shit. So we're going to talk Kobe shit. Talk the same shit about the white boy, too, then. I'm just saying. My thing is, like I said, I don't look at when you got Derek White, who has stepped up, Drew Holiday, who's an all defense guy, you got Jaylen Brown, Porzingis, you know what I'm saying, Jason Tatum. It's like, that's an amazing starting five if you run with that. So I think I look at Tatum, I'm like, yo, Tatum is – he's cooking. He's playing to the level he's played for the last couple years. He's great. But when I look at like MVP, the leap that the Thunder and SGA have made is exactly what you would look for to me for your MVP. Giannis has consistent. He's consistent. That's cool. SGA is leading the league in 30-point games this year. On top of the fact they're playing in the West, which is a bloodbath this year, and they right there number one. They were, what, 10th, 9th last year? Jalen Williams obviously has stepped like up. Shea.
You had like Shea is the only one that stepped up. Like, J-Dub has
made up. I didn't say you're the only one that stepped up.
Take Shea off that team, they are like in Wizards and Pistons territory.
They're not doing shit without Shea, bro.
At all. Like, his second leading score is J-Dub, who averages 19 a game, and then Chet. Like, they ain't got no other veterans, and they out here on top of the West. That's the third youngest team in the league.
It's impressive. I will give you that. But I will say Giannis has officially hit that we can't give him – Giannis and maybe Jokic. We can't give him MVP every year territory.
No, the reason why – Shea's
doing something different.
Nah, it's not even that with Giannis. It's just like, bro, you play with – like, you got a co-star that is also an all-star. Like, Shea is the only all-star in OKC. Like, those things count to me. Remember, like, I just think those things matter. And it's like, Jokic – I guess I can see the Jokic MVP, you know, the MVP talk, and Denver's great, but it's also like, to me, when I see a team make a jump, I always feel like the player who's responsible and the leader of that jump has to get that conversation. It's
they didn't do that until Shet got there. They were 10th without Shet. He came there first.
They was at 40 wins last year, though.
Dude,
it was like trash.
It's a bloodbath. They're just in the West. Wrong.
They in the West, nigga.
But that's all I'm saying. But look, to be in the West, and last year you got 40 over the hump. But like, Chet is not moving the needle like that, really. Like, honestly, like Chet ain't like he's. I think Chet's great. I'm just saying, like, I don't think Chet is the reason why. Like, SGA is the closer. SGA is like their go to guy. So I feel like if you lead the league in 30-point game, and you have the number one, like, record in the league. Like, remember, James Harden won the scoring title, right? And he won MVP. He's also playing with Chris Paul that year. So we overlooked the fact Chris Paul was very pivotal in them having them 65 wins. He was balling. I hated Chris Paul, but he was balling. So it was like, we can overlook that. But when you look at the Jalen Williamses and the Chets and – like, the nigga played – Josh Giddey is in the start lineup. That nigga's trash. So, I'm going to give SGA props just for pushing that bum to number one record. Like, I just say, like, it's just – I just feel like SGA is not getting the push that he needs, because the 3 to 4 people that they want to be at the top of the board – and Tatum is also a victim of this, too, even before this season – is that it's Giannis, it's Jokic – it's Luka, and if Embiid was healthy, that's your 3 or 4. Those are your 4 people that they want. That's the NBA, because it's the bigger guys. That's what they want. But when you look at the SGA, I mean, he's Canadian, but whatever. They ain't North America still, so whatever. But it's like, you got SGA, you got Tatum, you got guys like that. Like, those are people you got to put in the conversation. Like, who would be the MVP candidate if you're looking at the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? They don't have Mitchell. Really anybody, you know, on there.
And Mitchell should have been. I ain't going to say he should have been, like, MVP leader. But he should at least been, like, top 5.
But I'm saying, he ain't definitely in the top 5. But Luka, right, they team Luka is 7th or 8th in the West, and he's number 5. And he plays with Kyrie. So, like, stuff like that, it just shows you, like, SGA took forever to finally crack the top 4, top 5 of MVP. And OKC been right there at the top the whole time. Anthony Edwards is not even in the top 5. And Minnesota was number 1 most of the season before OKC overtook them. So it's just, that's what they want to do. The NBA has their guys, and they stick with it. And I dislike that, because I feel like the league moves forward more if you take if Ja Morant was healthy, right? And the Grizzlies was like number 1, number 2. Ja Morant should be in that MVP conversation. But they'll be like, oh, do we put Jaren Jackson Jr. in the conference? Like, that's how it is with, like, these young boys that are coming up. And it's like, Chet, great. They was trying to make Chet to be the rookie of the year. He's not obviously the rookie of the year. He's, you know, like not too far behind, but like he's not the rookie of the year.
He's far behind, bro.
I'm saying he's like number two on the list. That's something like not far. He not. I mean,
Is Wemby a top 25 player?
Yeah.
I'd say so.
So there you go. That's fucking insane.
You know, somebody said something to me earlier this week. They were like, Cat was better than Wemby. And I said, I could not believe that. I said, please. I said, because I was like, I don't know what it is about San Antonio. But whenever they get a number one overall pick, overall pick, it's like they make all NBA that very first season. I was like, Wemby, I think if San Antonio would have won like 10 more games, he would have made all NBA this year. But now, you know, you also have to win in order to make it.
Yeah.
He's going to make all defensive, right? I think
he should make all defensive.
He should. Absolutely. Speaking of number one overall picks, DAR Sports Media became a number one overall pick this week. We got a little announcement here. Wrap up the end of the show. DAR has been brought on board by United Football Media. They are the premier media group covering the UFL, the Premier Spring League, the combination of the XFL and the USFL. They have brought on DAR, namely myself, Tay, Axe, and True, to do a weekly wrap-up, weekly overview show on their YouTube channel. We will have rotating guests. We will have the United Football Media Group. They have individual correspondent podcasts for each and every UFL team, and those people will be rotating in, coming to talk to us, coming to argue with us, and we will be covering the overview of the league noon Mondays on United Football Media's YouTube channel. We are honored to be a part of that. Expect to see a lot of promotion of that on the socials the next couple of days. Please come check out these guys' YouTube channel if you were at all interested in UFL, the premier spring football league that there is going right now. It's a marriage of the XFL and the USFL, and an awesome place where this particular media brand, us, DAR, that we fit into, because XFL is owned by The Rock. So it melds the football, the wrestling, the sports, everything that we do here at DAR Sports Media, and we are super, super pumped. Expect to see myself, Tay, Axe, and True doing what we do, bringing entertaining takes, overview of this league, and getting rowdy with some podcast hosts. Thank you for joining us for Hoops Hour. That was our big announcement. Be on the lookout for the Week in Wrestling coming up later on this week. might be an interesting one. Maybe. As you can see, with us adding new stuff, becoming a part of things all the time, the world of DAR never stops.